Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Alex Cooper, filling in for Jeffrey Davis this morning. Our guest in the studio is Greg Phipps of 7 Quad Energy, Inc. So what is 7 Quad Energy,
Inc.? Hey, good morning, Alex. 7 Quad Energy, we have two lines of business. The primary lines of business is helping founders, senior leadership of companies anywhere from $5 million on up that need help in terms of accelerating or igniting or reigniting their revenue growth. So we tend to focus on the top line, revenue growth, new products, new services, new markets, take existing products, repackage them, reconfigure them. But the focus is to help the company grow.
Any particular industries that you focus on?
So the industries tend to be mostly in the business-to-business space, technology-based, software, medical imaging, of course, energy, energy software in particular. Those are the main areas we tend to focus in, but basically companies that have found a flat spot. So the expression is, call me when you need to reignite or reaccelerate your revenue growth. That's the primary line of business. We've got a strong background in the energy space as well. We tend to also work with companies, I'd say companies, work with institutions that are focused on energy costs. Primarily, it's a small niche, senior living establishments. Energy tends to be the third largest part of their cost component, and they tend to focus on taking care of the residents by definition. And energy is not a primary focus for them, but it's still a big cost element. So we help them basically manage that by looking at three areas. First one, rates and tariffs. The second thing is how energy is used within the building. So energy conservation, energy management, et cetera. And then the third major block, where it's appropriate if there's any opportunity for on-site generation, either solar, CHP, backup generators, stuff like that. So that's the second line of business we do. But the primary line of business is to help companies grow their top-line revenue.
And how long have you been doing that?
6 years now. We've been around since 2012, focused basically east of the Mississippi, so mid-Atlantic in particular, and then up into New England as well. And I happen to be based out of Rhode Island, so I'm one of the local guys here, actually.
And what did you do before this?
Before then, I was a true entrepreneur. I had a series of startups. The one that I started in 2009 was a materials company. Yeah, it was a good time, actually. Yeah, all right. Materials company that went into solar PV, so solar panels, particularly thin film panels. So we had an international company. Primary customers were in California, as well as in Germany at the point in time. We tended to do what was known as SIGs, copper, indium, gallium, selenium, and then CadTel, cadmium and tellurium. There were two main market segments that were growing very quickly back then. We sold that company in 2012, and then that's when we started 7 Quad. Before then, it was another company called Amersys, which was a medical imaging company. It was a software-based company, primarily references for radiologists. That was in the started that in 1999, and exited that in 2004, roughly. Another fun business, more software services based, and then a series of small companies and large companies before that. The focus for my background primarily is industries and companies that are undergoing dynamic change, rapid growth, regulatory changes, technology changes, but things that are happening that that prompt innovation in that space.
Makes sense. So how do you find your customers?
So in my current business, most of it is word of mouth, actually. Referrals, one customer to next saying, hey, you know, Greg did good work for us. You should touch base with him and see if he can help you out. Fair amount of networking as well, but referrals is primarily the line of business for me, actually.
And how many people do you work with on your team?
So we're a group of two.
Okay.
Small team. We've run companies as large as 1,200 people, but sometimes small is easy and nimble. Yeah. So right now it's just a pair of us.
Excellent. So, you know, can you give me an example of how, you know, maybe a case study of a company that you've gone into and, you know, reignited growth?
Yeah, exactly. So there's a company down in Kennett Square, Pennsylvania, a company called Tangent. They are a software company. They focused on the energy space. They asked us to create a take their basic software platform and see if we could repackage, reposition it into the municipal utility market, interestingly enough, in New England. So we looked at the utility market, spent time talking to the general managers, understanding what's going on in the marketplace, which is a critical issue. A, market segmentation, mm-hmm. and B, what's customer need, what's the unmet need. There are a couple of factors in this space that are still present today. On the wholesale side of the energy market, capacity and transmission charges, which mm-hmm. were very volatile for them. And so we took the software package from Tangent, repackaged it, repositioned it, put a wrapper around it, and it basically became a risk management tool for specifically focused on capacity and transmission charges for the municipal utilities. So we have them installed now in 9 utilities in Massachusetts and Rhode Island. And it basically focuses on predicting capacity peaks and transmission peaks, and also works with utility customers to help them reduce their load during those capacity peaks.
So
so it was a good example of taking an existing software package and repackaging and repositioning it in a new market segment. A couple of new features that mm-hmm. we added to it, but primarily taking something existing and putting it into a new marketplace.
Really? That's pretty impressive to be able to pull that off sometimes.
Well, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, the first thing I always think about is, well, you know, what market segmentation, you know, kind mm-hmm. of characterize the markets, and then, you know, figure out what the unmet need is. But the third piece that sometimes is forgotten is understanding, you know, not just who the decision makers are, but how they're measured. Mm-hmm. And then when you get into how they're measured, and in the case of municipal utilities, managing risk is a key measurement for them. I mean, there's certainly financial goals, and I mean, there's a lot of other goals, but one of the critical issues for them is how do you manage risk? And so one of the specialties or one of the things that we tend to do well is understanding how the potential customer, how the prospect is measured, both as a company, but also as an individual. And if you help them succeed, they'll keep coming back over and over again, hey, help me, you know, help me succeed in my business. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this was a case where, you know, understanding the market dynamics and what was happening around them, and then how to basically address their needs as an entity and also as an individual works well. And that's something that, you know, I've got a couple of decades of experience, and that's proven over and over again. The same thing was true in at Amersys, the medical imaging mm-hmm. group. Back in 1998 timeframe, CT and MR were transitioning to higher and higher resolution imaging devices and just beginning to do some of the 3D. So at that mm-hmm. point in time, it was 2D. They'd gone from 256 by 256 images, you know, grayscale images, to, and you think about that now, it's like, but they went quickly in the course of 2 years to 4K by 4K. So the resolution of the images themselves, and then the ability to stitch them together to have 3D. The challenge for the radiologist was, okay, how do I start interpreting these images? And that was, so better imaging combined with, you know, the traditional diseases that tend to kill people off early, mm-hmm. Were pretty well managed. And so they're starting to see, conditions, presentations that were more unusual mm-hmm. because normally people wouldn't live that long and they wouldn't get to be imaged. And so we ended up looking at the need for the radiologist, which is, hey, I need help interpreting this image. And B, as I need a reference or a database that helps me look at some of the more unusual cases so that they could do better diagnosis. And we put together a tool called Amersys. And at that point in time, we looked at 3 different media. There was the traditional book, and then there was the handheld. Some mm-hmm. people remember the old Palm 5, which was a monochrome image. So we actually had to create our own graphics program for it. And then that was the early days of PACS, Picture Archive and Communication System. So what we called big screen. So big screen, small screen, and print. But the key focus for us at that point in time also when we started that company was how can we help the radiologist? You know, what's the radiologist's market context? What are their problems as individuals? And, you know, how are they measured? And they're measured in terms of accurate diagnoses of a certain number of cases every day. And so we basically put together a platform that helped him succeed as well.
So I imagine your biggest challenge must be, you know, getting in and finding the market segments and interviewing and finding out what those needs are.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's interesting. There's a lot of very dynamic spaces right now. And so it's not so much identifying a cluster of them, but trying to narrow it down. Mm-hmm. Some are a little bit more interesting personally than others. Mm-hmm. And so my focus really now is to, you know, which ones are particularly interesting to me personally, and then which ones have leverage. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of interesting, you know, small spaces, niches, which are good for some companies. But, you know, where does that lead? You know, what's the plan that takes you to higher growth opportunities, higher growth markets? Mm-hmm. And then I tend, you know, I'm a double E from way back when. And so I tend to focus on technology-based problems, technology-based solutions. Not so much trying to solve the technology issue itself. There's a lot of great people that do that. But what's the market need? What's the business opportunity? And then the other thing, the discipline that, you know, I would encourage anybody, the entrepreneurs as well as the advisors, you've got to run the numbers. Mm-hmm. You know, at the end of the day, you know, not only how is your customer measured, how are you measured? And at the end of the day, whether you are the co-founder, whether you are senior management on the sales side, on the development side, whatever part of the organization you're in, operations, putting a product out the door, the metrics always include a financial component. So when you think about new opportunities, you know, cost of entry tends to be lower and lower, but what's the growth opportunity? What's the financial profile look like? And not only from an income statement perspective, but also from a balance sheet perspective, what's the capital required? And, you know, for small to medium-sized company, managing cash is always critical. Mm-hmm. So finances, you know, the financial side is the way that's your internal metric.
Right. So then obviously. That's another whole kettle of fish trying to figure out and get accurate information.
Yeah.
For that.
And so, you know, on that note, for people starting companies, for people running, you know, jumping into a mid-sized company, or whether you're a business unit of a larger organization, mm-hmm. And if your background happens to be technical, you've got to understand the finance. So, you know, marketing courses are excellent. My background is primarily marketing, but finance. And in fact, I have my son, I encourage consistently to not only continue doing his technical development, but finance courses, not accounting courses necessarily, mm-hmm. but business finance courses. You've got to know the numbers.
Absolutely. Yeah. So if people want to get in touch with you and find you and work with you, what's the best way for people to get in touch?
Probably the best. So. Best way is greg@7quad.com. That's number 7, QUAD.com. Or voice is still great. Text 801-558-1048.
All right. Before we let you go, we got to find out, where did the name 7quad come from?
Good question. There's a couple of things on that. I used to work for a company called R.R. Donnelly & Sons, sure. And the division was Global Software Services. Mm-hmm. And while we were dominant in our space, we had 10 of the top 10 hardware and 10 of the top 10 software companies, our name got abbreviated to GSS or RRD, which meant not too much to most people. And we ended up repositioning the company. We renamed it Stream. And the reason behind that is... we wanted to have a name that you couldn't abbreviate. So, subsequently, all my startup companies were three syllables. Mm-hmm. So, Amersys, At Lumen, 7quad happens to be two. Well, actually, it's three, but you know, two main words. And I also wanted to make sure that when there's any sort of a list, that I was on the first page of any list. And so, 7quad. The 7 is basically a little more than 10% of the U.S. use of energy, and quad is quadrillion BTUs of energy. So the United States uses on average about 95 plus or minus 2 or 3 quadrillion BTUs of energy. And as we started 7quad originally, our focus was to help reduce that by 7, or, uh-huh. or roughly you know, about 14%, so twice it. So anyways, that's where 7quad came from. Well, and it's on the top of a list, and it can't be abbreviated.
Well, those are some excellent tips for entrepreneurs out there on naming your company. Thank you for that, Greg. And
Very
thank
good.
You for coming in today.
My pleasure.